a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. What about the harlots and whoremongers of these sexy days? Hear this one. Of all the shackles of sin that enslave humans, none are such chains of steel as those of sexual lust. They present a challenge so great, reformers avoid and do not become involved. But Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners of all kinds, declared the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you, you religious leaders. So after receiving this letter on October 17, 1979, we had a special prayer meeting for the harlots and the adulterers, the whoremongers and the fornicators, and we interceded with our God and our Savior Jesus Christ in their behalf. And we did so with thanksgiving as we remembered one such we named Rahab the taxi driver, who had been a miracle of our Lord's saving and transforming grace. She was a taxi driver in Korea, the harlot of her boss, the taxi owner, and of the men who rode with her. Then she read our book, Dr. Luke, in Korean, and its revelation of Jesus Christ. It's in true repentance she turned to the Lord Jesus, ending her life of immorality and giving our tracks to her riders. Her boss was furious, losing his harlot and business getter too. She got a job with a Christian woman and drove her taxi and freely gave out the tracks. For years we learned of her steadfast Christian character and testimony. No wonder then that we could pray with confidence and with thanksgiving. Many in their lives of sin wallow like a hog in its mire, in their reveling in their lusts and thrills. But among them are some, like the young woman who wrote us, they are sick in their sin and sick of their sin. So they struggle to get rid of their sin, but only fall back into it in their wretchedness. Our Lord Jesus is their only hope, and he spots such distressed souls now, even as he did in the days of his earthly ministry, as he cried, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came to seek and to save that which was lost." Now I will read her letter, well worded, indicating both education and one knowing the value of good character. As I quote it, please observe, there was no lightness or joking about it, and there was no blaming the man and excusing herself. There was no desire to retain her sin with its thrills and also have God's mercy at the end. For those who sow sin's thrills are sure to reap hell's tormenting pangs. She addressed her unsigned letter, "Dear Christians," not "Dear Catholics" or "Dear Church Members." Did her plea to Christians indicate that she felt that in Christ was her only hope, and her desire to be a true Christian and to live as one worthy of that holy name? Here are her own words. I quote, "Dear Christians, first, I went deep in sins of sexual indulgences and now realize I need deliverance. I have often made up my mind to come out of this mess, but I fall back into it once again. Please pray for me that God may deliver me and save me completely. Second, I've had a child for an army major because of immoral dealings, and this man is married. I would like you to help me pray for God's forgiveness and that God should mercifully provide for me my own husband. Third, perhaps because of the sins I have already enumerated, my whole life is in confusion, and I do not know what next to do. Please pray that God would show me the way to follow from now until I get to the kingdom of God. Thank you, and God bless you." Unquote. And it is unsigned. Is there hope for one who has fallen so low as to be a public harlot and then to steal a woman's husband and have a child by a married man? Is there any future for one who has, not just in the time of one strong seduction, fallen into immorality, but who has herself gone back into it again and again? Can there be a bright prospect for one who has tasted the bitterness of such wickedness and then returns to drink that bitter cup repeatedly? It is different from one with one raised in heathendom with its idol festivals and their free-for-all indulgences in sex gratification, and who has never heard of Jesus the Savior. But this young woman has chosen darkness rather than light. Surely, from every viewpoint, she is not only helpless but hopeless. These questions and conclusions are certainly relevant and in order, and naturally, I would refrain from grappling with such an impossible case. But as the bondslave of the Holy Spirit of God, He has ordered me to write this message to this distressed soul. So here it is. I will call her by the name I give her as I pray for her every morning, Rahab of Nigeria. Rahab, first, I must assure you that I am not some angel dropped down from heaven. But I confess, as did Paul and Barnabas when people thought they were gods, that I am a man of like passions with you. By this, they did not mean they had lived in immorality, nor that they were looking on women with lustful intent, but it did mean that they felt the strong inward desire of reproduction and of being a husband to a loved wife and together raising a family of children. This natural desire God has by creation put within men and women, but it must be kept within the God-appointed fence of one man with one wife. To break down that fence and run wild becomes an unharnessed flood of destruction, ruining other lives and leaving the guilty one, as our Lord Jesus described such, on the Jericho Road, stripped of virtue and wounded with the sores of sin, sores so deep that even if they are ever healed, they will leave their ugly scars. Rahab, see yourself in that description. Others in pride would object to being so described, but somehow I feel that you will plead guilty. And I hope you'll cry out, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sin is not hid from thee. I don't wonder that people pass me by in disgust, but I cry to thee, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Rahab, I am not one to pass you by, but as my Savior came into the world to save sinners, so I have given my life to seek out the lost sinners the world around, to lead them to my blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I read your letter, I spotted a lost sinner that desperately needed my Savior. Before I introduce you to the only one who can change you from being an everyman's harlot to become the loved wife of one husband with a family of dear children, I must warn you of Dr. Reform. He tells you that all you need is a change of environment. You need to get with his cultured followers. Remember that Adam fell into sin, not in a slum, but in the finest place in all the earth. If you take Dr. Reform's pills, they will buoy you up for a time, and then you'll fall deeper into your sin. And Dr. Religion offers his church for you to join and his religion for you to profess. Here I must intrude. Rahab, let me show you human beings after Dr. Religion doctored on them. There were Saul of Tarsus, loaded with religion, and under the influence of those pills, he killed and jailed people just because they had a Savior and not religion. Then look at those proud Pharisees. They grab a woman taken in adultery and expose her before a crowd, wanting Jesus to condemn her. Where was the man? Why didn't they bring him too? He was one of their religion. That is religion for you. They dance at the nightclub on Saturday night, and Sunday they sing in the choir or teach Sunday school. Rahab, I discern that you do not aim at being another of those two-faced hypocrites, but you want to be a changed woman living a new life. So listen to this old veteran of 81 years of experience who has seen the disappointment and gloom of those who are the victims of these worldly wise doctors. Rahab, you need the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, to save and change you. He knows the utmost of your need, and He has the answer to it. Yes, He is the answer in Himself. If you ask, but what does He know about me and all my lusts and passions? He never had such. It is true, the Lord Jesus never had a wife. The Mormons, so as to have their religion of many wives, they teach that Jesus had two wives and he had children. But you and I do not believe such blasphemous lies about the blessed Lord. And the Lord Jesus never lusted after a woman. But instead, when a husband stealer, that makes you think, doesn't it? With a record of stealing six husbands, when she met Jesus, though he was such a majestic man, Yet his holiness so subdued her lust, she had no such desires toward him. The Lord Jesus, that one holy, harmless, and undefiled man, who knew no sin and who did no sin. Now, if this fact makes your question, what does he know about me, greater? Listen, Jesus Christ is God. He made our father Adam, and he knew he needed a wife, and he gave him Eve. And Eve needed a husband. So, who could know you better than does Jesus? And while most men cannot understand a woman, yet Jesus understood and tenderly sympathized with women in every experience of their lives, whether a widow bearing her only son, or a woman with a demon-possessed daughter, or a woman controlled by seven demons, or two sisters bearing their dead brother. And if you ask, did he ever encounter a woman in a mess like I am in? He did. For there was laid at his feet a woman taken in adultery. He exposed her those religious hypocrites, her captors, and forgave her sin and sent her on her way to live a new life. And let me tell you of another woman, young and attractive. I will call her Rahab, for she was just like you. She left her country town and the big city. She set herself up just off the main street. Some of the religious men were her best patrons. She'd gone wild after men. Then she heard of Jesus and his wonderful miracles, wondering what he looked like. One day she saw him. As he looked on her in understanding compassion, those eyes seemed to say, "Poor Rahab, I know you're miserable." That night she couldn't sleep. Who was he? Was he their promised Messiah, the Christ? The next day, hearing that Levi the publican was putting on one of his big feasts, she goes. The guest of honor was Jesus. He spoke. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. By now her sin had made her downright sick. Sick in it and sick of it. Jesus continued, "I came to call sinners," and what a sinner she was, "to repentance. Then she must turn away from her sin and seek God's mercy." Her eyes fell in shame and self-condemnation for her degraded sin. Returning to her den of sin, it seemed like a sound mud hole to her. She must go on in it no longer. Then a man knocks at her door. An inward struggle follows. She falls on her knees and cries, "Oh God, help me, I'm so weak to my sin." And God does help her. The man goes. Then she learns that Jesus has gone to Simon the Pharisee's house. Becoming desperately in earnest, she must be sincere. He said, "Repent," and she must show the works of repentance. So she gathers up her ointments used in sin, and she goes off to Simon's house. His religious folks scorn and hiss her. But she passes through them all right to Jesus with tears of repentance as she breaks her ointment on his feet, clinging to him as her only hope. He so completely understood her, he said, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Her tears are gone. Jesus had saved her. Peace with God filled her heart, and she was another miracle of God's saving and transforming grace, and all was found in Jesus. Rahab, you need to have that personal experience with Jesus as you, in true repentance, receive him as your own Lord and Savior and entrust yourself to him to save and change you. And while the Lord Jesus is now risen and in heaven, yet he will see you and he will hear you as you cry in faith to him. Get alone with him and have this experience now. Rahab, if some gracious and lovely man were to befriend you and even take you to be his own wife and call you by his name, wouldn't you break loose all your old ways and associations to just obey and please him? You know you would. Then listen, Jesus, the Son of God, in marvelous love and compassion, stands ready to make you eternally his own and for you to bear his name as a Christian, one who belongs to Christ. Will you not then, as a helpless and repentant sinner, take your place at his feet, saying, "Lord Jesus Christ, I will be thine, to obey and serve thee, and to please thee as my Lord and Savior. Please, in thy great mercy, take me to be thine forever." Then you will not only enter a new life, but you will be a new person, born again by the Holy Spirit, and for God to receive you as one of his children. From that hour, the world with its lusts will be crucified to you, and you to that world, crucified with Christ. To now live for the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. Our Lord Jesus said, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God, and you will be another of those so rescued by his grace and brought into God's everlasting kingdom. Amen. This message of the Holy Spirit to Rahab is also another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.